heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us to go in this world, wherever we roam. Ancient words will guide us, ancient words, ever true. Changing me and changing you. We are God, we are the
said in this Sunday school, the blessings, Lord, that we are looking for in the song worship and in the preaching of the word. Lord, we know that you deliver to us this morning, for we come in the name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Let us read from the book of Numbers, chapter 20. I would like to read a portion of scripture there, Numbers 20 from verse number 14. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, I'm looking forward to the day when we will truly be in our own place soon. From verse number 14, it says, "And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that has befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time. And the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers, and when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and has brought us forth out of Egypt, and behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the utmost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy border. And Edom said unto them, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I'll pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, you shall not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border, wherefore Israel turned away from him. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. Let's pray again. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, these are ancient words indeed, Lord. Yet, Father, years and millenniums after they were written, they are still imparting something unto us. And we are looking for something out of them this morning, that it may be imparted unto us, Lord, and help us in this journey. We commit the reading of thy word into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated, saints. I would like to read again from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, from verse number 1. And it says, these be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on the side of Jordan. Sorry, chapter 2, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 2, from verse 1. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, you have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northwards. And command thou the people, saying, you are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take you good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, nor not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. You shall buy meat of them for money, that you may eat, and you shall also buy water of them for money, that you may drink. Again, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. I would like to speak this morning on being led of God. It's a topic that has been on my heart for some time now, in the conversations that you have with people and looking at the history of people that you have dealt with for many, many years sometimes. And you see a common theme begin to emerge out of it. And you just wonder to yourself, what is happening or why is this happening? And you can't help it but come to Scripture to find out answers from Scripture and see where you can help the people. And so it is this morning that I've come to this topic of being led of God, because I am convinced from reading from Scripture that God wants to lead his people. And when we read through Scripture from the book of Genesis all the way to Revelations, you can see that God has been leading his people. And that same God who has led people is the same God that we are worshiping here today. Otherwise, we might as well pack our bags and go home. And he wants to lead his people. And when he does it very, very intimately. You know, because as we have read of this journey of the children of Israel, he was very involved in how he led his people. He didn't just say, well, Moses, you take the people from there and there, I'll meet you over there. He was with them all the way, every step of the way. And he led them in different ways. Sometimes it was very direct, like we have read here, that the Lord spoke to me and said, do this and do that through the prophet. And sometimes it was through indirect means. But whichever way God led them, he was leading his people. And he has been doing that even until today. God is leading his people. So we find in that journey, like we have read in the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy, that his leadership of his people was very, very involved. It wasn't a removed leadership where somebody sends you a message, oh, I'm struggling with this, you point them in the right direction and leave them like that. God gets very intimately involved in the leadership of his people. He wants to direct his people, I might say, every day, every hour, and every minute, if you can let him, you know, because some people don't want that, as we will come to find out. But he so much orchestrated everything, and he wanted to lead them and bring them to the promised land. And we find as long as Israel followed the leadership of God, they did very well. But when they didn't follow it, they got themselves into trouble. You know, he would say they come to a time where there was a cloud leading them by day and a pillar of fire by night. And they come to a place where the cloud would stand in a certain place. And perhaps the first time, it might have been a little bit confusing to say, why is the cloud not moving? But it had to take God to come and speak to Moses and say, I want you to camp here for a little while so that you can rest. So they would camp there and stay and stay. But after some days, the cloud would begin to move again. And Moses would tell the people, the cloud is on the move. We better break camp and start moving too, because that's how God was leading them. But for a certain brother, he might wake up one morning and find, oh, the cloud is moving. Everybody is breaking camp. What is going on? He asks Moses. And Moses would say, well, the cloud is on the move. We need to be on the move too, because we must follow the cloud. But after it happened two or three times, this brother, when he wakes up, he wouldn't really look at the cloud and it's moving. And he goes to ask Moses to say, what is happening? He now knows that the cloud is on the move. I better break my tent and be on the move with the cloud, because that is how God was leading them. And that's exactly how he does with us. We have come a long way now that we should be at a stage where we know the leadership of God in our lives. You shouldn't be surprised by certain things to say, why is the cloud moving today, or why is it not moving? Because God has led you this far. You should be at a stage where you know to discern the leadership of God in your life. Amen. You know, but it's a problem for many people, it seems. Even when you can listen to somebody's story and you can see the hand of God in their troubles and how God is closing doors for them and opening other doors, but they can't seem to see that God is trying to lead them through the open door or something like that. Yet it's very clear and plain to you, and you wonder, what is happening with people? So you have to come to topics like this. And so we find that he led them by the pillar of fire. He led them by the cloud. He led them by the word of God through the prophet. Many different ways he did. If you can imagine, when God spoke to Moses and say, you take everything and leave Egypt now, and you go by this way, and they come to the Red Sea. And there at the Red Sea, if Moses, they just got there and he took his stick and raised it up and the Red Sea opened, I'm sure a lot of people would have questioned Moses to say, what do you want us to do now? You want us to walk through there? No ways, I'm not doing that. What if the water comes down? But it had to take God to harden the heart of Pharaoh to pursue these people and come to destroy them. And there they characterize it in the movie and say, the God of Moses must be a poor general. He left them no way out. But God was leading people that way. And he had intent in everything that he was doing, because he was going to use that to destroy the Egyptians, so that on the other side of the Red Sea, he would say,
these Egyptians that you see, you shall see them no more. So they would have known through the leadership of God all these circumstances that they went through, how God leads his people. And that's why it's written for us today. We can read and learn how God leads his people. You might not have a Red Sea in your life or a Pharaoh who comes behind you, but there would be circumstances that are similar, and it forces you into a certain place, and you should be old enough to know that God is leading me here, you know? And the Pharaoh then comes with his army, and the pillar of fire comes between them, and the Red Sea opens. I'm telling you, they gladly went through that Red Sea. But that was God leading them. And then by night, the pillar of fire, he was intimately involved, even to the point he would say, in the morning when you go to gather bread, take only what is enough for you. You know? And God wants to do that for you and for me. He wants to sit with you at the dinner table and say, hey, David, that's a huge plate. You should reduce your portion. Because he is still the same God. He leads his people the same way he has led them through the scriptures. So we find in the place that we read that they wanted to pass through the land of Edom, you know, and they send a word to the king of Edom and say, we want to pass through the highway. Could you please let us pass? We won't do anything else. We just pass through. If our cattle drink your water or eat the grass, we'll pay for it. Everything. We won't do anything. Please let us pass through. And he said, no, you are not passing through my land. It must have been a disappointing thing. But it says in the Bible, when that happened, the children of Israel took a detour. They would have taken a straight path through, but because he refused for them to pass through, they took a detour and went another way. But it says as soon as they went another way, if I can find the book of Numbers, chapter 20, it says that they came to a mountain, in verse 22, Numbers 20, and the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. And I want you to think about this for a little while, because God has divine appointments. He knows where you will be tomorrow. If he is God, he knows what you'll be wearing tomorrow. And he knew that I must meet Moses and Aaron on Mount Hor. But if they had gone through Edom, they would have bypassed Mount Hor. But it had to take the refusal of the king of Edom to say that you will not pass through my land for them to take a detour and go to Mount Hor, where God wanted to meet Moses and Aaron. Because something special was about to happen on that mountain. God came and met Moses and Aaron, and he said, Aaron, because of your rebellion, this is your end of the journey. You are not going further than this. The priesthood must now pass from your son, from you to your son. And he died on that mountain, Aaron. He went home to the real promised land, right there on that mountain. So the refusal of King Edom, of the king of Edom, might have seemed like an unreasonable thing for this man to do. We just want to pass through this land in peace. Anything we are going to eat, we will pay for. Even to the water that we will drink, we will pay for. But he won't let us. It might seem like that sometimes in life, to say, but why can't I just get this that I want to get? It's because God has a divine appointment for you. He's closing a door, and we must be old enough to recognize that this door, the way it has been closed, it's God closing it. Surely he does not want me to go this way. He wants to lead me another way, like they did, because down the road they got to Mount Hor. But another similar thing happened like that. That this one, I think we find it in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 2. It was a different king, Sihon, and they also sent word to him. I think I'll just read it here for completeness. Deuteronomy 2, verse number 26. And Moses says, And I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kedemoth unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, let me pass through thy land. I will go along by the highway. I will neither turn to the right nor to the left. Thou shalt sell me meat for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only I will pass through the land on foot, as the children of Esau, which dwell in Mount Seir, and the Moabites, which dwell in Ar, did unto me, until I shall pass over Jordan into the land which the Lord our God has given us. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him. But this time it was different. He refused for them to pass through. Why? It says, for the Lord thy God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into thy hand as appeared this day. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, the Bible says. If you read just before that, God had spoken to Moses to say, rise up, take your journey over the land of Anon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land, begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. So when this one refused, he says, I will come and fight you. And he came and they took up arms. They did not deter this time. So you can see from all this that God leads his people through circumstances even. Because when they fought this king, they destroyed the whole setup and took over the land. And that was the beginning of the possessing of the promised land for the children of Israel. So it's not every door that closes and you say, well, God is directing me this way. You need something beyond just a closed door. It says that we walk by faith, not by sight. And faith, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith is a revelation that you get from God that Moses got here, because God spoke to him and said, Moses, this is your land. You are going to fight this man and take over the land. And Moses sent a word of peace as if it was contrary to what God was saying to him. But he knew the man's heart would be hardened by God, and we will fight him and take over the land, because God had given them a promise that you will take this particular land. Why? It had to be by faith, because God leads his children by faith. And that same God that we are talking about today is still the same God today. He wants to lead you. He wants to lead me, just as he led the children of Israel. Now, the trouble today is that God is still leading people, but people, they either don't want to be led by God, or they simply don't know that God leads his people, or we fail to discern the leadership of God in our lives. This first group of people that don't want to be led of God, they know that God leads people, but they simply don't want to do his will. Just like there's three kinds of believers, the unbelievers fall in this category. They call themselves Christians. They know God leads people, but they simply don't want to take God's will. They have another will, their own will that they want to take. For God to tell me to leave my high-paying job and go over there and take a simple job so I can have more time for the ministry, it's very hard for people to make that decision. They want to be led of their own will, not the will of God. Those are unbelievers. And then the second group, I mean, we could give examples of the first group, like Balaam. You know, God told him, don't go there. But he had to look for extenuating circumstances. Is there a way that I could go, Lord? The Lord tells you, don't wear like this, or don't dress like this, or present yourself like this. You want to find some extenuating circumstance, say, but why others are doing it, you know? I could do it. You understand what I mean. Amen. But we are not trying to focus on that group. The second group, they simply don't know that God still leads his people. They don't know that the way that God led Abraham to say, I want you to leave your father's house, to go to a land that I will show you, the same God is still doing the same thing today. My, he wants to lead you to the right neighborhood that he wants you to live there. God wants to direct you to the right school for your children to go to. God wants to direct you to the right church for you to go to with your family. But people don't want that. They think, this church that meets in a saloon? No. There's a bigger church in town, you know. They've got better facilities. I'll go there. Why? They don't want the leadership of God. You know, just think about Eleazar for a moment. He says, I being in the way the Lord led me to my master's brethren's house. Imagine if there were cell phones in those days. And he gets there and he sees Rebecca and he rings, Isaac, I found you a wife. Brother Asha, we were talking about this last week. If I go to Malawi and ring you and say, Brother Asha, I found you a wife. You'll be like, brother, Will. I'll find my own wife, you know. Things like that. But God wants to be intimately involved in every choice that you make. It almost seems like a very strange thing to people when you tell them, oh, when I wanted to buy a car, I prayed and the Lord led me to this car. They look at you and say, this brother is making stories. No, it's not stories. The same God is the same one today who's making those leadership decisions for us in our lives. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. I'm too nervous this morning because of time. But the third group is the one that we would like to focus on by the grace of the Lord, because this is where most Christians, good Christians, they fall into that group. You know, they just are simply not aware of the leadership of God in their lives. They just can't simply discern that this is the hand of God leading me here, and they struggle with a simple situation for a long time in their life. And you're like, surely we have prayed about this matter. Yeah. You know, Brother Branham says, if you go to get prayed for on one issue, don't go looking for prayer for that issue again. Amen. That's a serious stance to take, yeah, to know that I've gone to be prayed for here. The pastor has anointed me with oil. I will never go to be prayed for that issue again. Why? Because God hears prayer. He's going to answer that prayer, but many times he answers in a way that we don't want, or we don't discern that it is God answering me prayer here. These are the people that we would like to talk about, that if the Lord allows us, we will focus on. Now, being led by God is at the heart and center of Christian life. There's no way you can say you are a Christian, but you lead your own life. To be a Christian is to be led of the Spirit of God. Those that are sons and daughters of God, they are led by the Spirit of God, the Bible says. So there is no way we can speak about Christianity and separate it from being led of God. No wonder it says the prophet had three testimonies before breakfast, I think, when he was led of God. God is still doing the same thing. You know, it has to come to a point that if I was to sit down with you and ask you of a testimony in your life, you shouldn't be telling me about things that happened last week. You should be telling me something that happened today. How did God lead you today? How did he lead me today? We left the house and my wife, poor wife, she was very tired, come home late last night, and I was doing the best I can to help her. And we get in the car and the Lord led me. He says, when you are going, you stop by the shop and buy her some breakfast. And being a hard-headed man, I drove past the shop and went. Then she said, I thought you were going to buy me breakfast and I was coming here to speak about the Lord leading me. Do you see how very simple? The leadership of God, God's leadership in our lives is so gentle, it's so gentlemanly, it will not force itself on you. You have to let God lead you. Instead, but you've got to know, this is God speaking to me. You hear many people give testimony. Something told me to do this. It's not something told you. The reason people say something told, because they're afraid to say, God told me to say that. And people look and say, what, you, God speaking to you? Yes, God spoke to me this morning. And he told me to buy my wife breakfast, but I did not obey. And I'm very sorry. We had a packet of biscuits that she ended up eating in the car. But God wants to be intimately involved in your life. He wants to lead us through this journey right to the promised land. But it's very, very easy when that voice speaks to us to just dismiss it or listen to another voice. Or many times we just think, oh, that was just my thought. Or reason kicks in. Or, you know, the budget is very low. You can't buy breakfast for her this morning. It's sad. But it happens. God is constantly and consistently influencing and prompting us towards his leadership. Every single day, every single hour. How many here can raise up their hand and say, there was a time when God put it on my heart and influenced to pick up a phone and call a brother? And when you do it, a testimony follows. He has done it for many others. He wants to do it for you and for you. How many of you, my children walk from school, they get on the school bus and they get off the bus and they walk home. It's about 1.5 kilometers to get home. I thought it's good for them to exercise a bit. But there are days where I definitely feel God say, you go and pick them kids up. And I leave everything I'm doing and go and pick them. Because there's a lot of horrible things that have happened to children when they are walking home. And maybe that is God leading you. Remember the prophet, when he was shaving and preparing to go and preach in church, the angel of the Lord says, quickly go to your daughter. And he went and she was right on the edge of the bed. She was about to fall. It wasn't the only time. There was a time he says, wake up, go give your daughter water to drink. She needs water, and she drank a whole glass of water. She was crying in the night. God leads his people. Amen. God wants to lead you if you let him. But the trouble with us, we come to a place where sometimes we think we know it all. I don't want God to lead me. I'm telling you, brother, sister, the leadership of God is the best thing that you can ever do for yourself. I remember back, as we finished just for now, back in 2019, and I had a very, very good job. I mean, it was really good, money-wise. And the Lord told me to leave my job. And I left the job because I knew better than to listen to my own desires. It was much better to listen to God. I left my job. I started a new job on 1 November 2019. And I took a big cut in my salary to do that. And I left that job, worked November, December, my boss went to Singapore and he rang from there. He says, I have to come back right away. There's something going on here, some strange sickness. They're calling it COVID. And he came back and he said, the man I was meeting with at the bank, he called to say now he's sick. And then he came to office and he was busy coughing. I was like, hey, this man wants us to die here. I was like, Lord, what if I left that job? And you can feel stupid for some time. But if you trust in God and hold on to God's leadership, he will make everything work together for good. Because it wasn't long after that COVID hit, March 2020, lockdowns begin. And I was working there, working, and my boss says, I treat this company as a family. Nobody loses job. Nobody gets a pay cut. Wow. We are going to sail through this no matter how long it takes, he says. And my friends at the place I was working, half the company let go. The other half that remained, half salary. And I was like, Lord, what if I had not listened? It pays to take heed to the leadership of God. So it's unfortunate that time always goes away very quickly. But Brother Vegas asked me, he says, what is the topic today? And I wrote down and I said, part one. So by God's grace,
we'll get opportunity to look into this and try and find out how does God lead his people in this day. We don't have a prophet. We don't have a pillar of fire. We don't have a cloud. But the Lord is still the same today. He's still leading his people. So we want to find that out from our lives and how he has led us, so that if you are in that category of people that don't know how to discern God when he speaks to you, that it may help you and it may solve all your problems. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful this morning for your love. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the things that you do for us, Lord. And now as we turn to the song worship again, Lord, let what was said in this Sunday school lesson sink down into our hearts as we sing these songs, that, Father, we may begin to hear the leadership of God. When you come and you whisper to us in our ears to say, stand up, that we may stand up, Lord. That when we hear your gentle voice say, raise up your voice a little higher, or clap hands, or greet a brother, or do something, Lord, that we may not resist it, Lord, but that we may yield ourselves to your leadership, even as your Son, our Lord Jesus, he yielded to you at every step of the way, Lord, even unto death and death on a cross. He yielded to thy leadership. Let it be our portion, Lord, that if you should tarry and we are no longer on this earth, let it be said of us, Lord, that we were led of thy Spirit. May you grant us grace now. Bless, Lord, the remainder of this service, the song worship, the testimonies, everything that will be done, and the preaching of the word. Lord, we commit it into your hands, that it may be instruments that you will use to lead us, Lord, and to find the right path in this journey. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.